Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Basement. I'm Chris. That's Craig. Welcome to my 9-foot homemade oak bar, my basement. And Craig, I'm going to tell you something. I have a theory, and it's because I'm stupid. I don't pay attention to the personal lives of players, and I see Brian Reynolds go on the paternity list the other day.
Yes.
And when he goes on the paternity list, I go, he's got a baby on the way. Oh, good for him. I'm not paying attention to stuff, right? So then I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, like, why is he having such a crappy year? What is the reason for the crappy year that Brian Reynolds is having? And if you're not sure, if you haven't been paying attention to the crappiness that is Brian Reynolds this year, we're talking about a guy with a 184 batting average and an OPS of 590. His on-base percentage is under 300. This is a guy who was a legit Rookie of the Year candidate.
Oh, absolutely.
Just last year. Here's a guy who was a 4.1 wins above replacement in his rookie year. He is replacement level at this current moment, 0.1 WAR in just this season.
Yeah.
What a turnaround, right? You're sitting there trying to figure it out. So I was like, okay, well, let's just break this down. Is he a flash in the pan? Was there something that indicated that we just got lucky in year one with him? But that if you go through his minor league stats, he's so consistent. His OPS at the rookie level, rookie ball, low A, high A, double A, it's always in the mid 800s, his OPS. His batting average is always over 300. His on-base percentage is always from 360 to 380. In fact, he gets better as he moves up. And he goes to AAA last year, plays 13 games, 56 at-bats, and he's lighting on fire, 367 average. An 1181 OPS. And in his first year with the Pirates, he hits 314 with a 377 on-base percentage and an 880 OPS. That's what he was at every level in the minors. So it didn't matter what level they brought him to, he would adjust as a young player should and become who he was at that level, and then they would promote him to the next level and he would go through that adjustment. So it shows that there's nothing fool's gold with Brian Reynolds. So I will submit this to you. I go to his splits. Now, I've had a pregnant wife before. I have three kids. How many times have you had a wife that's pregnant, Craig?
Three.
Three times. Three different times you've had a pregnant wife. And I'm not going to say anything disparaging, okay, about his wife. I think he's married, right? I mean, I'm assuming, but I could be wrong. It's 2020. I have no idea. Could be his baby mama. I have no idea. I don't keep track of the personal lives of players. But I remember my wife being a pain in the ass during the pregnancy, especially the first one. Like she was worried about everything. She had false labor pains. She would interrupt major events telling me that she wasn't sure the baby might be coming. And the baby wasn't going anywhere. And when I was away from her, she would drive me absolutely insane. She'd call at all hours of the night. She complained that I wasn't there to help her. It was really a drain on me. Here are the road and home splits for Brian Reynolds this year. It is striking. When he is at home and able to tend to his personal life, he's hitting .275 with an OPS of .759. Yeah, okay, it's a little bit of a dip. His OPS plus is at 99, so he's basically right down the middle with the average for major league players. He may not be having the best season, but he's definitely not having the worst. When he's away and he's getting phone calls at 2 in the morning because something might not be right, he has hit .096 this year with a .428 OPS, a .217 on base percentage. His OPS plus is 21, meaning he's 79% below the average baseball player at the plate on the road this year. So I hope this is a wonderful birth, that he gets some quality time, his life calms down, and you get Brian Reynolds back, if not this year, next year. I call him an absolute bounce back category, or bounce back candidate, because I have decided at this point, with no actual knowledge of his at-home situation, I'm just making this up, but I have decided that I will not judge Brian Reynolds at this point, looking at those stats and understanding he's having a baby this week. I totally understand, Brian. Have that baby, play with that baby, take your time. I expect good things in future years from Brian Reynolds. What are your thoughts on that?
I was going to say, here we are over inside the Bucks basement, myself and Gary Morgan, like racking our brains. Gary goes in and breaks out all these charts and everything about the breaking balls and how he's not hitting breaking balls in the zone. He's still batting up the fastballs. I mean, he does these great breakdowns, and all we needed to do was come to you and say, Chris, why isn't Brian Reynolds hitting? And you're like, his wife must just be calling him, right, on the road.
Crazy wife. You're on the road, crazy wife, end of the pregnancy. We've all been there with our wives, completely distracted. She probably didn't even want him to go and play during COVID. I guarantee that. She's like, whoa, what if this happens? What if that? I mean, the amount of stress this man is underneath right now, let's all give him a pass. Okay? Let's just give him a pass. I don't know anything about his personal life. This could all be BS, but I would believe that more than I would believe that a guy at every level is completely consistent, constantly improving, and then just becomes the worst baseball player on the team. Like, something's going on there. That's what I would think.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've even talked about, Gary and myself on the side, have talked about his approach at the plate and how he just doesn't look comfortable. And the other part is, I think he's actually hitting better right-handed other than left-handed this year. And before, like, all the other splits have been, like, the opposite direction. So, I mean, we said this at the beginning of the season. I mean, this is an evaluation season, but it's also a season where it's 60 games. Like, is that a large enough sample size to say a guy who has performed at every other level and performed last year all of a sudden is not a good baseball player? I mean, you can, I guess. I don't. There's some judgments that can be made based on this shortened season. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't look at anything. Like, you don't look at Gregory Polanco hitting 120 and go, well, you know what, shortened season, small sample size or whatever. But, I mean, I think there's some things where, I mean, even we were talking about, we can go into the trades, right, with this, is that when people are saying, you know, what are you going to get for, you know, Frazier because he's having a down year, I know at least a lot of smart baseball fans are saying, yeah, Adam Frazier's been in the big leagues here for, you know, a few years now, and every single year he hits the same. He hits 275. He hits like around 10 home runs, 60 RBIs. I mean, it's like right down the middle. It's the type of player that you're going to get. Where's his WRC plus, all this other stuff? It's right around league average. I think it was like 97. So you're looking at that. If he's having a terrible year in this 60-game split, I might be giving him a free pass. But if there's other guys that it's like, no, they actually haven't played well for the past few years and it's a shortened season and they're still not playing well, then you know what? Maybe I'm not giving them a pass. So that's where it was coming into this trade market, where people were talking about, you know, what's the value of some of the players? Well, you know what? I valued Adam Frazier. He didn't get traded today, but I've valued him around the same as I have if it would have been the last trade deadline, as I have in the offseason. The same thing as I think when I talked with Gary and City of Bridges, Anthony DeFilippo, on our live podcast on Thursday. I'm almost positive that I brought up Trevor Williams, which, I, you know what? Chris knows I bring up Trevor Williams almost every episode.
Right, because he hates you.
Because he hates me.
Yeah, he hates you. And he, you know what? The more you tell me the story, the more I understand why he hates you. But anyway.
No, but the thing with him was that people are saying, well, you know what? If it was that like little part where he got injured last year and he's been pitching pretty well so far this year and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, he hasn't. I mean, he hasn't been pitching like... He hasn't been pitching terrible, but I think even like, but he had a bad outing against the White Sox this last week. And everybody's like, how did that affect his trade value? I'm like, well, it really didn't. He had one good outing this year where he had like, you know, where he went seven innings and had like five strikeouts and a walk. But other than that, the guy pitches like four innings, gets like four strikeouts, couple walks, gives up some runs, but he's not that guy that's going to be like an innings eater. You know what you're getting with Trevor Williams. So that's where like this whole trade thing, people will sit there and like talk up Pirates players for the 2 weeks leading up to the trade deadline and talk about why other teams should take them. And then at about, I don't know, I think I saw the switch turn at about 3:45 this afternoon where it was like, well, no wonder nobody wants our players. They're all crap. They all suck. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought you said this guy was great for the past 2 weeks. Now he sucks and nobody wants him? But then on the other side of the coin, you got my boy Bucko Mike, who I'll mention. I'll give him shout-outs all the time because he irritates the heck out of me, but he also just makes me laugh where he's just like, well, he had to do something. And I'm like, Mike, you're the guy that's telling me these guys suck. Well, he had to get creative. I'm like, how do you get creative with this?
If you're a team in Major League Baseball, the only guys in the Pirates roster that you might even look at, at this point based upon how they're performing, is if you needed a catcher, you would knock about Stallings, okay? You might be interested in Moran based upon the fact that he's hitting, but I don't know if anybody really is going to give you very much for him. And then in terms of pitching, your biggest asset was going to be Kella, but he was injured. And if he wasn't injured, he would have been moved. That was the only guy that you were really going to be able to move, it turns out. I mean, there was some tire kicking that was going on. You know, there were some rumors that there were teams that were interested in Joe Musgrove, but it just didn't pan out. And there were some teams, I think here's the other problem with the trade deadline. There were teams like the Padres went nuts. The Padres were like, oh, we're going to get everybody. We're going for it. The Blue Jays went nuts because they're in the AL East. And when are you going to find a time when the Red Sox are down and you feel like you can take on the Yankees and you feel like you're there at this point? Like, I get it. They're doing everything they can. But then there's other teams that are looking at this like, hey, it's a pandemic. What if everything gets canceled in 2 weeks? What if something weird happens when they put them all inside the bubble? What if a couple of my guys that I rely on go in a slump and we get knocked out in the first round? What am I mortgaging my future for when I'm going to get a full season likely in 2021? So I that was the hard thing about this trade deadline. It wasn't a normal trade deadline. I would have liked to have seen some moves get made, but there weren't a lot of guys to give away in this Pirates organization. There just weren't.
No, there wasn't much out there for them to do. And that's where I'm like, yes, I told you before the show, I said, it feels crappy. It does. Like, I'm just like, why am I so upset? Because you, me, Gary, Anthony, everybody was talking about being cautious about this because we couldn't see a lot of work being done. It would be like, you know what? Would it be great if you could move somebody and get something? Yeah. But we were still very cautious about it.
It's the middle of the show song. 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 Chris had nothing to put here, so he put this song. It's the middle of the show song.
Hey gang, Chris here. I just want to take a quick moment and say thank you. Thank you for the support, thank you for listening, and thank you for subscribing. But I also want to warn you that if you aren't subscribed to this podcast, you may be missing episodes. A lot of people follow us on social media, but sometimes our tweet with the link doesn't show up in your feed. Some of you follow our Facebook page or follow a Facebook group where we share the link, but Facebook tries to hide those page shares in an effort to shake us down for money. And if they see me sharing it in a group, they suspend me for weeks on end. That means you miss episodes. Don't miss episodes anymore. If you have an iPhone, there's a little purple podcast button. And if you don't have it anymore, just go into the App Store, download it for free. If you have an Android phone, click on Google Play, search podcast. Pick an app that you like. Spotify works. Go into these apps, search the name of the show, and hit subscribe. Now you'll never miss anything. Thanks for subscribing. You keep listening, we'll keep making them. And let's just go by position what you think they should be doing the rest of the year. Because I'm curious. Because if you are in a rebuild and your team sucks, who do you want to really see get the at-bats and the games played? Who do you, I mean, like, and you know what, how about this? If I went around the horn, if I go around all the positions on the field, and I ask, the question I would ask is, who do you think should be getting the majority of time there for the rest of the year? But who do you, and also, who do you think the Pirates are going to give the most time to? Because you got to think that Charrington's starting to look at this going, I'd rather see more of this guy. Or I'm done looking at this guy at this point. You know, he might be doing it now. So I'm just curious, I know a catcher. Stallings is your catcher. I think that's
Stallings. He's getting every single game except for some of the doubleheaders or something. You know.
Okay, so at first base, do you want to see Colin Moran or Josh Bell there?
I'd rather see Colin Moran there.
Do you think the Pirates are going to keep Colin Moran there?
I do believe they're going to keep him there, and that has to do with when we get over to the hot corner, what the news that came out today that as to why I think Moran's going to stick there. And I'd actually rather see him play there as well. I think he's more comfortable there.
Do you think he's long term at first base?
I think he'd be first base. He could be DH. I think that depending on it.
Well, think about it this year. Next year there won't be a DH.
Yeah.
So is he the first baseman going forward, and you find another spot for Bell, or you're moving Bell to try to get pieces?
Well, for the rest of the year, it's going to be Moran. But that's the other thing with people saying, if the DH doesn't stick next year, they're like, why don't you keep? I'd rather see Bell, just because if the DH is, I don't think the DH, unless it sticks around, I'd rather see Bell at first base.
Couldn't Bell go out and play in the outfield? Didn't he do that for a while? He was out in right field.
Oh God, no, Chris, please don't bring that up, man. He can't do that.
Okay, so
you can't do that anymore.
So then maybe. So now here's a theory for you right now. Ben Cherington knows you're not going to the postseason this year, right? I mean, we assume that he's an intelligent human being. He's a rational animal, okay? And then also, Ben Cherington, being a rational animal and an intelligent human being and the general manager of this team, knows that he's going to be able to give major league at-bats at a position to only so many guys for the next 30 days or so, and then the season is over. And next year, most likely, highly likely, there's no more DH. We're back to normal. If Cherington believes that and he goes, okay, then what is best for my team going forward? He may already know what Bell is. If Moran performs, he continues to perform this year at the rate that he's doing, and can play a solid first base, Bell could very easily be somebody that you move to go out and get pieces if you are truly rebuilding, correct?
It was his defense at third that basically held him back from being an everyday player, or considered an everyday player.
Right, so it seems to me like them playing Moran every day at first base is a tryout to say, are we happy enough with his offensive output and how he plays first base that we can move on from Josh Bell and get pieces if need be, or we can get some team to take him. But at some point, one of them is moving on because they would. That's what you're doing there. You're trying to evaluate which one do we like better there and which one are we going to try to move in the offseason. That's what I think. Second base. Who are the Pirates going to put there? Who do you think they should put there?
They're going to put Kevin Newman there, is what it looks like going forward.
And you agree with this the rest of the way?
Actually, I do agree with that. I think Kevin Newman has always been suited better for second base. And he was kind of lost at shortstop last year. Luckily, he hit well enough to make up for some, you know, bad numbers there. I think he's more of a second baseman, and I would just like to see him play the rest of the year at second base.
All right, so shortstop now. Who are the Pirates going to put there, and who do you want to see there?
They're going to put Eric Gonzalez there. It kind of looks like, Gonzalez, he hit a home run again tonight. He's got a fairly hot bat this year. Has overperformed, you know, at least some expectations. A good defender. So I think they're going to put him there. Honestly, if you're going to ask me who I think they should put there, I'm still going to say what I was saying at the end of the year last year. If Cole Tucker is on the field, he should be at shortstop. That is just my honest opinion. To me, it's always been the glove first. The bat has never really come along. So if you're going to showcase anybody for anything, I'd want to see Cole Tucker. Guess what? He's made some nice plays in center field, but he's also made some bonehead mistakes. Those would be minimized if he's at shortstop. I would play him at shortstop more often than not.
All right, so third base. Who are the Pirates putting there? Who should be there?
Well, it looks like as of tomorrow versus the Cubs that they are calling up Key Brian Hayes, our number one prospect, Gold Glove third baseman, 3 years in a row in the minors. It looks like I would hope if they're calling him up, that they're calling him up to play him every day. That is my hope. If they're calling him up just as like a pity thing that everybody's been clamoring for him to be up here and then he sits the bench, to me, his call-up would make absolutely no sense. So I actually, you know what? I technically would bump Eric Gonzalez over to third base, and I would have played him the rest of the season, unless it is your goal to play Ke'Bryan Hayes regularly at third base for the rest of the season, getting regular at-bats. So it's like kind of a caveat there.
All right, left field. I would assume it's Reynolds, and that's what they're going to do when he gets back.
I would say Reynolds in left field.
All right, center field. What are the Pirates going to do, and what should they do? It seems like what they are going to do is put Cole Tucker out there.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to keep Cole Tucker out there. Jason Martin's been up for a couple games. He hasn't shown a whole lot. He hadn't shown a whole lot before. I mean, he's a guy that I like. He's a minor league player that I really like. Honestly, I want to see Jared Oliva out there. I don't think that's really going to happen with what's going on this year.
Why should Oliva be out there?
I think Oliva should be out there because he's the most natural center fielder. He's been hitting really well for the past 2 years, but the thing against him is that he actually hasn't seen any AAA pitching beyond the Arizona Fall League. I mean, he's performed well down at Altoona. He's been put on the taxi squad. He's been playing pretty well. I wrote an article because when I spoke with Garrett, that was one of the first names he brought up of a guy that's playing really well. So for me, if you're going to, I would rather have Cole Tucker at shortstop, and I'd rather have Jared out there in center field for the rest of the season and just see what you have for the future. That's just my opinion.
And then let Eric Gonzalez kind of move about and fill in for people, because then you would have Ke'Bryan Hayes over at third and you'd have Newman at second, but Gonzalez can go to all kinds of different positions.
Oh yeah, he can play infield, outfield, and whatever, and that would be the same thing. And actually in right field, and you could even
is
switch
that
where Reynolds.
Is that who you would, we didn't get the right yet. Is that who you would have in right every day, or who would you have in right every day right now going forward?
Every day going forward, I'd actually have Adam Frazier out there more often than not. He can play right field. He's better in left field. And that's where like Reynolds is. He's better in left field, but he's better than Newman in right field. So I don't know who you would actually, because I still want to see Frazier getting it back.
Who are the Pirates going to put in right? If they, do you think they'll put Frazier out there or no?
I think they're going to put Polanco out there.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. When you look at the long term and what Polanco's doing, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, I mean we got one more year where we have to pay him, and I mean the guys when he's made contact this year, and that's when he's made contact, because it hasn't been too many times this year. I mean, he hits the ball a mile and he hits it as hard as hell. But I mean, if he's not the future out there, and I still think that like if Frazier for me is a guy that you trade if you can't find a spot for him and you get a good package back. If not, Frazier still falls into between him and Eric Gonzalez, falls into that utility, super utility role for years moving forward, which I've gone back and forth with Frazier, even in this past offseason of the trading versus extending, because he's not like a super expensive guy. And you know what you're getting from him. Of course, you're not getting it this year, but like I said, shortened season, I'll go with his track record over that. But I honestly think the Pirates are going to put Polanco out there in right field more often than not. He's going to be your more regular starter out there. I mean, he's going to get spelled. He's going to get some DH stuff. But, I mean, I think he's going to be the more consistent starting center fielder, just like Cole Tucker is going to be the more consistent. He's going to be the more consistent starting right fielder. Cole Tucker's the more consistent starting center fielder. I think that's what they're going to do.
All right, so let's finish this up. We're towards the end of the show. Give me the five starting pitchers and the one guy you'd like to see in the most high leverage situations coming out of the pen for the last month, looking towards more the future than what's best for this year. Who would you like to see the five on the mound the rest of the way taking the ball, and the guy in the most high leverage situations to see what he has and grow that metal in him for the future?
Well, I'm hoping Joe Musgrove comes back, because I want to see how he looks after coming back from injury. Because I mean, he had two Joe Musgrove starts to begin the season, which two Joe Musgrove starts means two solid starts, doesn't lose it for your team, gives your team a chance to win. And his last one, he really struggled in. So I'm hoping Joe comes back. He hasn't been announced as a starter, at least up through Thursday, I think they have their starters listed for, but he's been throwing some stuff. So I want to see Big Joe out there. It really stinks that Mitch Keller's injured right now, because I know everybody wants to see him out there. So if there's any way he comes back, but I don't even know if he's on a throwing program yet right now, which is terrible. Starting wise, Chris, this is, I mean, I still want to see them give, you know, keep JT Brubaker starting. I know he's been struggling, but you have to figure out what you have with him. If you started playing him at this part of the season, I think that at this point you just have to ride the wave and see, you know, how he pans out within this season. If he ends up not being what you expected from him, you know, as his pedigree stated at the beginning of last year before he got hurt in the minors, then you know what? You may have to move on from him, but that's a guy that I think I'd like to see him out there. So there's three guys.
Your boy Trevor Williams. He's Trevor, four, right?
Yeah. Trevor Williams is going to be out there. For better or for worse, he's going to be out there every...
And then who else? Cool?
Cool. Yeah, Cool. If Cool can keep up, I mean, that's the other start part. And the bad part is everybody says, you know, you got to have a lefty in there. Like, I just start putting Derek Holland. I just start putting him in relief right now is honestly what I start doing with him. I think it's best for his career. I think it's best for him. I think that if he wants to extend his career beyond this year, I mean, he was a minor league free agent signing non-roster invitee to camp, and he may be the same thing again next year. Probably the easiest way that's going to happen is if he's in the relief role. So I don't care, but at this point in time, righties, lefties, whatever it would be, you just want to see Chad Cool go out there. You want to see Trevor Williams go out there. I want to see Brubaker go out there. I want to see Musgrove get back out there. You know, Stephen Brault, there's your lefty. I still want to put him back in the relief role. I still think he's more of a spot start long reliever, but he might get the starts there. In the pen, I want to see more of Nick Mears. You've brought him up a couple times. You know what? You got to ride that wave too. He's a young kid. I want to see that. Hopefully Blake Cederlund, if he's fully recovered from COVID, you got to see him coming back.
And put Carson Fulmer in and see what you got, because you just brought him over.
See what you got. And then another one that's actually pitched pretty well for the past couple games that he's been in there was Nick Schiappino, the guy we picked up from the Yankees, who had some pretty good peripherals. Actually didn't have terrible numbers in his appearances in the Major League for the Yankees. You just got to start throwing everything at the wall here and seeing what sticks and seeing what you can do moving forward. And here's the thing is, the other part is not like you paid a lot for some of these guys like Nick Schiappino and whatever. If they work out in the offseason, if you still have them and they're still controllable or whatever, you could say, hey, we'll package him with who and whatever. I mean, that's the thing is you can't get attached to these guys, but it's the guys that if you want to see, hey, is this something we have for the future? Is this something we can trade? Or is this something we just need to leave on the wayside as we go, you know, into 2021?
Bucks in the Basement is out every single Tuesday, available everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. And Craig did a live show over the past week. So make sure if you have the ability to get the Podbean app, and you should be, Android and iPhone and everything else, whatever device, if you can get apps, you can get Podbean. It's free. You'll get a notification when he's going live, and I'm sure he'll put it up on all the social media accounts as well. So sometimes you get like a really cool live show you can kind of participate in, and they get thrown on the feed. So if you miss the live show, the conversation that he had over the last week, or any of the previous shows, all you have to do is check it out on any podcast player at bucksinthebasement.com. Subscribe, listen, share with your friends, all that good stuff. My friend, I will see you next week.
All right, sounds good, brother. After four or five more Pirates losses.
The rebuild is on, baby!
The rebuild is here.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say.